Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington, presented as always by Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. It's Bish Cakes, EB, and JP. That's a foursome. Join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline as our pal John Keim covers the Washington football team for ESPN.com. What's up, John?
What up, guys? How are you?
Hey, JK.
Hello, Mr. Keim.
So schedule moving all over the place. Do you think that matters?
I think it... You know, it does and it doesn't, because you can't let it matter. And I think that's one thing Rivera has preached throughout all of this year, is that you just kind of focus on what you have to do. But, I mean, it has to have an impact on whether it's on the Steelers or for Washington the following week going out to Arizona on a short week. It has to have an impact. But I think you kind of have to just roll with the punches in this kind of a year, because you knew it was going to be crazy. But I mean, it has to, right? There has to be some impact, especially on Pittsburgh playing on a on what will be a, you know, obviously a very short week.
Mm-hmm. Is Rivera credible to you all the time? I think yesterday, maybe it was the day before, he said he's not even looking at the NFC standings.
Yeah, well, that's a lie.
He's all over the place.
I mean, I'm not going to speak to if he's credible or not. I just know that. I think if I'm coaching the team, of course I'm going to peek at that.
Right.
You know, because this is, you know, we knew early on in the year that that was a factor in decisions, and or at least in the thought process. So
right.
I think you kind of have to say at this point, because you are in it, that you have to take the quote-unquote one game at a time mentality. But if, you know, if you ask – about the next three games coming up, well, he definitely knows who they're playing the next three games. So, you know, I think he knows which stretches are really tough and which are tougher. So
he knows exactly what's going on.
What was the context of that, though? Were you there, John, when he said that? Like, he doesn't look at the standings? What was the context there?
I don't remember the context. I mean, that, you know, and I'll be honest, like, some things, you know, for me, if you just, I would say tune out, but they don't necessarily register the same way, because, I mean, you know that they know what the schedule is. It's just that publicly you're not going to start addressing games beyond Pittsburgh because, you know, you want your focus on this. It's, I think it's kind of as simple as that, but I'd have to go back and check the notes
fine.
To see what the context was.
No, it's fine. Well, talk about the quarterback play on two levels. So obviously, Alex, you know, heartwarming story, and he's doing better than I thought. I got to give him credit, even though I don't think he's particularly mobile at all. He's finding a way to get it done. So I tip my cap to him, and I understand why he's playing. But I'm also, by the same token, I'm reading comments from Ron and some of the, I guess, behind-the-scenes guys that Dwayne is kind of taking this seriously and is maybe more involved than he has been before, and maybe he's getting there earlier and leaving later and that sort of thing. Are both of those things true? Is there maybe hope there for Dwayne to get another opportunity to impress the coaches?
I think that's still a fluid situation, and I think there was a long way to go for him to get to the point where they would say, yes, we're ready to put him back in. And so there's a lot of work that needs to be done there. I think it's just more, are you seeing what you want to see right now? And I think once he went back to the sidelines as the number two quarterback role, it seemed like that added a little bit of energy to him. And if he's doing certain things for a couple weeks, that's good. I think they're going to want to see that for an extended time and then seeing it translate to the field. That was one of the things that Rivera would talk about earlier as well, that it's once, you know, you've got to take what you know and translate it to the field, because you can sit there in a classroom. I mean, you and I could go in a classroom and get these plays, and then in the heat of battle, are you translating that to the field, or are you making, you know, so I think that's one of the things that would still have to be determined. So I don't know. I'm not at the point right now to say one way or another what it means for his future. I know that he's been a, you know, we saw the clip of him helping Alex Smith up. We've seen him celebrate touchdowns with guys coming off the field. He's one of the first guys out there. That's all good. What it means for his future, it just means right now he's being a good teammate. And I think that's where you go with it. I still think that they're going to look hard at quarterbacks in the draft. And, you know, so I think there's going to be a lot that he's going to have to show. Again, not just that he's learning this stuff, but that he's taking it to the field, because that obviously is the big key. And I don't know where that is right now. I just think there's some time there. But again, it's good. If he's doing all that, that's good. That's what they need to see. And I think it's important for him to be a good teammate, because I think when he was first benched, there were some people there who would be like, you know, these guys were really good teammates and supportive of him. He needs to reciprocate, meaning Alex Smith and Kyle Allen. And if he's doing that, that's really good, because that's what he should be doing, and that's good. He should be, you know, that's a good thing.
Mm-hmm. You know, John, Antonio had, I think, 25 touches last week, and that's good, right? The more, the better. That may be the most he's had this year. Can we expect more of that?
I think as long as they're controlling the ball, yeah. And that's one of the things they've been really good at with Alex Smith is time of possession and converting third downs. That allows you to get Antonio Gibson the ball a lot more. Now, you have three really good teams defending the run coming up in Pittsburgh, San Francisco, and Seattle. And that, so the challenge will be to continue that success against defenses that are, or against some, you know, units that are better at defending that. But I think you're going to have to keep getting him the ball, because he's a guy that has shown he can make plays and he can extend drives by doing that. So I think one of the things that they've done well too is they're somewhat creative in how they're doing this and with what they're doing and fooling the eyes with all the jet action and reverse action, and it's working. So if they continue to do that, then yeah, I think he'll continue to get the ball. Now, 25 a game is a lot, because I think there are going to be some games where it's like, okay, it's J.D. McKissic time, right? And we've seen that in other games where it's been more about McKissic because of this, whatever is getting stopped or in the pass game, et cetera. But I think he's going to continue to be a guy moving forward who's going to get the ball up, because he keeps improving. And I think the big key for him to get even more touches is how he handles protection, because that allows you to stay, with him as a three-down guy. And the better he handles that there, I think the more chances he'll get and more opportunities he'll get to carry the ball or get the ball.
Joined by John Kine from ESPN.com. Should the Washington football team have shown some interest in Kenny Stills, who was recently waived by the Houston Texans? Look, he's not great, but he's way better than any number two wide receiver option that's on this team presently. Right now, McLaurin leads the team with 963 receiving yards. The next closest wideout is Cam Sims with 245. I know he went unclaimed on waivers by every team, but was there any interest on adding Stills to the wide receiver?
That I don't know. I mean, there's, you know, and to be honest, like, I don't, it's hard to ask about every player who becomes available. And I know it's, I mean, this guy's a little bit different. You know, I know at this point in the year, it's hard to bring in guys and expect them to go out and make certain contributions when they're learning a new offense. So, you know, I think you should always, you know, I mean, the pat answer would be they you look at everybody, and anybody who comes available, you're going to consider them. So, you know, I don't know how much interest there really was or not, you know, so.
Hey, JK, just when you look at the NFC East now, You know, I think when you look at the Giants and Washington, the schedules are pretty equal in terms of difficulty. I mean, you could argue Washington's got a slightly easier schedule because they've got Carolina in there. But are the stars aligning a little bit now? I mean, the Giants have the tiebreaker, obviously. But now with Daniel Jones going down, he's going to miss next week's game with Seattle. He may miss the following week, but they say the tear isn't as severe as they thought in the hamstring. But, you know, I mean, obviously Pittsburgh's going to be tough, but it's a short week for them. I don't know. What do you think? I mean, do you think six wins now gets it, or do you have to get to seven?
I think six probably. I think seven definitely gets it. There's no way you're getting two teams with seven wins in this division. But I think six certainly then for Washington, if they get six, then obviously you have to hope that the Giants only win one more. And so I think there's a chance it could happen, but I think seven definitely gets you there. And when you look at the Giants' schedule, and again, it depends on how long Daniel Jones is out, but they got Seattle, Arizona, Cleveland, Baltimore, Dallas is going to be interesting for them because, you know, having grown up in Cleveland, you can see the Browns lose in any game, as my son will tell you, you know. So I don't think – I'm not going to – while that's a, you know, tough game for as far as record, it'll be a close game. So they have a chance. Then they close with Baltimore and Dallas, and who the heck knows where Baltimore will be at that point with anything. And you would expect Baltimore to be – Baltimore is the better team – but who knows what's going to be happening at that point. So, but I think when you look at Washington, I think the way Alex Smith has steadied this offense and the schedule, and I think they're probably healthier in some regards, you know, in some areas than some of these other teams. Now, they might be healthier, but some of these guys are playing are probably more future backups than anything. So while they're healthy, it's not like they're playing with every frontline starter, guys who are just these, you know, great number two receivers that you guys would talk about. So, but yeah, I think it's set up that way. I mean, you can certainly look at it that way. I mean, which quarterback would you rather have right now? If you're, you know, you want Colt McCoy or Alex Smith in there for the next few weeks?
You want Alex for sure.
I know the answer there.
So, hey. Yeah. Now, but it depends on how long is Daniel Jones out.
Right,
yep.
Right.
John, real quick, I wanted to ask you what you're seeing from the defense. Going back to the Thanksgiving game against the Cowboys, they were able to hold the Cowboys to 60 yards rushing and held Ezekiel Elliott in check for the second game in a row. What are you seeing from the defensive end?
Well, the ends do a great job crashing down on that. And you're not getting anything that's really bouncing out. But, I mean, you saw the one time Chase had the tackle for a loss, but that came out on a little stunt. And that was he gets inside quick. He takes such a flat angle to get inside that it's like there's no wasted steps. That's pretty impressive. And I think, you know, it certainly helps them that Dallas's line was in such bad shape. I mean, I don't think you – I don't want to discount what they did, but you have to certainly factor that when you lose your starting tackles who are already your backup tackles and you lose them during the game. That's a factor. And I think that first game they had a makeshift line as well. But you still got to stop them, and they did. And I think the tackles, when you're looking at it, I mean, it looked like they did a pretty good job. And I think one of the big things is with those tackles is getting used to playing the one gap. And because too often you've seen times where maybe sometimes one tackle plays a two gap and the other one plays a one gap, and they play the two gap because it's what they know and what they're used to, and you resort to what you're used to, and it leads to a gap being not filled, right, or a bigger gap being created, and then the linebackers aren't filling theirs the right way. It certainly looked like they did a good job of that the other day. When the linebackers attack, this defense is a lot better. And, you know, so I think you can add all those up. And it was a good, you know, they played. It's funny because at halftime it's kind of like, you know, you weren't that impressed with them because it looked like some of the other first halves to a degree, given the situation. And more so in the pass game. But they, you know, they finished strong again. And I think this will be a really good test for them to see, are they an improving team and unit? So, but yeah, they did a really good job against him. Despite the injuries, you still got to go out and stop a guy, and they did. And so you have to tip the hat to that.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the defensive numbers now in terms of yardage, they're a top five team in the NFL. And in points, they're now a top 10 team. So defense is playing much better. John, we always appreciate your time.
Thank you, John.
Thanks for having me on,
guys. See you, Jake.
All right, buddy.
That's John Keim. You know, we've been talking about it, but maybe we can open up to callers. 800-636-1067. Is Washington the favorite now in the NFC East? We've been going through the schedule. It looks like it's probably the Giants or Washington. Who do you think is the favorite in the NFC East? And how many wins do you think it takes? Right now, both teams 4-7. You have the Eagles just a half game back, the Cowboys a full game back. Do you have Washington as the favorite now to win the NFC East? We'll take your calls next at 800-636-1067.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan on a Pro Football Focus Tuesday. We have the best insiders in the game. Join us every Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Today, Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. He'll jump on at 9. After him, Mike Rizzo is going to join us, the GM, president of baseball operations for the Washington Nationals. Just heard from John Keim from ESPN.com. We were talking about the division race. Phone lines are open at 800-636-1067 if you can jump on AAA Always On Call listener lines. Let's just eliminate who we, I think, all believe aren't true contenders in the NFC East, and that would be the Eagles, who lost again last night. They are just a half game back, but this is their schedule. They're at Green Bay next. That's a big fat
That's
loser.
That's 3-8-1. Go ahead.
Yeah, loser.
Then they've got the Saints. Arguably the best team in the NFC. That's a loser.
Whose defense is peaking right now?
Yeah. Although Taysom Hill is
not
a terrible.
As good with him. Yeah.
He's a terrible thrower. He can wildcat all day, but he can't complete a pass. But go ahead.
But they've found a way to win their two games with Taysom Hill.
I mean, they're definitely the favorite. Yeah.
And their defense is legit.
Yep.
Then they go to Arizona. All right. Maybe that's winnable, but you're a dog in that game.
Probably a loss.
And then they close out the year with Dallas and Washington.
Okay. They would have to win both of those.
I don't see them winning 3 out of 5. At best, I could see them getting to 5 wins.
Right.
Dallas. I mean, Dallas has looked awful, but let's just look at the schedule. You've got at Baltimore next.
Loser.
L.
Well, depending on what happens with at the quarterback position. With
I don't think it matters. I think
probably doesn't.
Possibly
but,
even with RG3, they should be able to beat Dallas.
Probably.
And Andy
probably, yeah.
You've got at Cincinnati. Now, that's winnable.
Yep.
Winnable game.
Definitely is.
Because of their quarterback situation. And Cincinnati's terrible.
Although Allen wasn't horrible.
No.
He wasn't horrible.
He started
bad. I said winnable. I wouldn't say it's a lock it up win.
Yeah.
But winnable. That's a coin flip of a game.
Right.
He wasn't horrible. Brandon Allen?
I didn't think he was horrible. I watched the whole
game. He wasn't good.
I mean, you're
he was
probably,
far from good.
Did you watch it or are you just looking at his numbers?
I watched part of that game and he was. I didn't look at it once and say, man, he's good or he's decent.
No, but he wasn't horrible, I didn't think.
They're much less explosive with him there. Just put it that way.
Look, he's right, better than a practice squad, you know, running back playing quarterback, but he's a third stringer.
I thought he was better than Finley.
He's a step above a practice squatter taking over.
All right, so Dallas has at Cincinnati after the Baltimore game, then their home games against San Francisco and Philly.
Okay.
And then they close out the year with at New York Giants. Maybe we shouldn't count out Dallas, their game back, but remember, Washington has swept them, so if it goes down to a tiebreaker, Washington has the edge over them.
Yeah,
so, I mean, at best, you maybe give Dallas three wins there, at best, which gets them to six.
Right, because they would have to beat Cincinnati, New York, and Philly.
Right.
Yeah.
So then that leaves the Giants and Washington. Giants right now have the tiebreaker, and that's a huge advantage. But you look at their schedule, it's tougher than Washington's. Their next few games, at Seattle, loser. Zona and Cleveland, I mean, maybe they're going to be in it. Probably depends on Daniel Jones. They'll be the underdog in both. Then they close at Baltimore and finally with Dallas.
They could actually lose all of them.
Of course they could.
Yeah, 12 Jones is out.
They could actually lose all of them.
And then that leaves Washington. So Washington at Dallas, I mean at Pittsburgh, we all believe that's probably a loser. But maybe there's a little more light if you're grasping at the whole short week for Pittsburgh, long preparation week for Washington.
It would take the perfect storm for Washington to win, I think.
But they're going to have 12 days of rest before they tee it up.
You'd have to pressure Ben like crazy, maybe even knock him out of the game.
And he hasn't been sacked much this year.
Yeah, and then, you know, I don't know.
And stop their running game. Look, they're a good team, and their defense is legit, and they're going to pressure Alex Smith. So then you've got the Niners. Now, the Niners game will be in Arizona, but it's a road game against the Niners. Niners just coming off a nice win.
And I don't have a good feel for the Niners because I don't really watch them, so I don't have a good feel for
them. Well, they are getting healthy, especially offensively. And they got Debo back and they got Mostert back. If they're healthy offensively, especially in the run game, they don't have to throw it a ton.
And Ayuk will probably be back for that game. That's another piece of that offense that's explosive, that's tough to account for.
San Francisco should be the favorite in that matchup, even though they're not playing in San Francisco. It's going to be in Glendale.
The likelihood, just on the odds, is that these teams are going to be 4-9 with a couple games left to go. And so then it comes down to the last few games where Washington closes with Seattle at home, Carolina, and finally at Philly.
Right.
I don't know. I think we'll find a way to win six.
You think they get two wins in there?
I think it comes down to the winning the Carolina game and winning at Philly.
Yeah.
How disappointed will you be if they don't make the playoffs now? Now that you have a playoff sweat, five games to go.
I mean, I'll be disappointed. I mean, I don't know how this. I mean, I'm still angry about the macho going for two.
Are you going to harp on that?
Well, because that's going to be the difference.
Not a guaranteed win. Like, let's say they kick the extra point.
Just kick the
extra point. The Giants can beat them in overtime.
Yeah, they could, sure. But I just like our chances, especially when, you know, as long as you don't give up a touchdown on the first possession.
Ron wanted to instill a culture of winning.
Yeah, whatever.
Remember that.
It could come down to that. You might be right.
It just kills me.
By the way, the Carolina game is no shoe-in. I mean, I know you say that the Giants' schedule's tougher because they have Cleveland and Washington has Carolina. But if Carolina has McCaffrey back in that game, and if DJ Moore is healthy,
that could be trouble.
They've got Curtis Samuel. They've got better offensive weapons than Washington.
They can absolutely lose to Carolina, but they're the Panthers, and I will always pick one.
Whatever. Look, the Giants.
I'm just saying, if McCaffrey plays in that game, he could be a difference maker.
I would assume he plays.
Of course, but the Giants' schedule is tougher just based on record.
On record.
So they've got four games with teams with winning records. Washington only has two games remaining against teams with winning records. That's Pittsburgh and Seattle. I'm not saying they're gimmies. They're no gimmies for any of these teams. 4-7 is the best record in the division.
I know.
I think the Eagles
and they're probably all going
to
be 4-8, right? They're all going to be 4-8, or you know, the Giants and Washington are going to be 4-8 after this week. It all likely.
I think the entire division goes winless this week.
Right, and then
next week,
and then I think there's a good chance they'll be 4-9.
Yeah,
and still be atop the division. A very good chance that happens. All right, let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Don's in Ashburn. Don, you're on with the Junkies. What's going on?
Hey, good morning, fellas. You know what's funny is we're just like 2 weeks away from or 2 weeks from losing to the Lions, and we're having this discussion. But I think when you look at all the teams, we've got health on our side. We're the healthiest of all of them, and you know, some good key pieces still playing. So I think you have to say we're the favorite. What that means for this division, though, I don't really don't know, but definitely the favorite.
You know what, though, going into last night's game, I saw the FPI percentages that ESPN puts out, and Washington was the third favorite, whatever the hell you call that. I know that's not the right lingo.
Who was ahead of them? New York and Philly?
I think New York and Philly.
Oh, wow.
I don't know how you could put Philly ahead of Washington at this point. Maybe that was pre-losing to Seattle.
Yeah, it was before the game. Here were the FPI chances. It was, they actually had Philly at 38%.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants at 34%. The football team at 24%, and the Cowboys at 4%. So that was the projections before last night's game. Let me see if I can find the updated ESPN analytics.
It obviously all comes down to health, but and then COVID, which is an unknown. But it comes down to what we know. It comes down to Daniel Jones. If Daniel Jones is going to miss more than two games, if he misses this week, next week, and then possibly the week after, that really hooks the Washington. But if he can come back for the Arizona game at 100%, you know, I think they could win that game, and then going forward can win a couple of those games. So
the only thing I'll say about the Daniel Jones injury is that you kind of expected them to lose the next couple of games anyway. Like, they have to win two games, I think. If the Giants win two, look, if anybody wins three, but nobody's expecting to win three. But if the Giants win two and they're tied with Washington, they're in.
Obviously, yeah.
I think there's a real possibility that the winner has five wins.
It's possible.
Well,
when you look at
the
schedule.
If that's the case, it's not going to be Washington.
Correct.
Because the Giants will get one more.
I mean, you would think, but none of these are guaranteed.
No.
For any
there
of these
are no
guys.
Layups anywhere.
I think they all only have one game left in the division.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like the Philly game is pretty close.
Dallas has two games left in the division. Dallas has Philly and the New York Giants.
Yeah.
I don't know.
And Philly has Dallas and Washington.
You know what? It could come down to that Week 17 matchup between New York and Dallas. Because if they both have the same amount of wins, obviously, going into that, and Washington has Philly and New York has Dallas, if they both win, they're still tied, but the tiebreaker goes to New York. So it could come down to Week 17.
How would you feel if they got in at 5-11?
I'd be perfectly happy. I don't
really?
Care. Yeah, I mean,
you
they're
feel
it's
dirty?
All bad. 5-11, 6-10. I mean, they're bad. It's the same record. It's bad.
Cakes, do you believe they put up the banner? 5-11?
I mean, I guess.
Division
no,
champions.
Somebody asked me,
it's
would I
era,
buy?
Era of lower expectations. So,
somebody
yeah,
asked me on Twitter, would I buy an NFC East Champs lid if they win at like 6-10 or 5-11?
No way.
I'm saying 100%.
You would buy one?
Oh, sure. I'm a fan. Yeah.
It's like, you know, it's like saying I can guarantee you a win on Sunday for the Washington football team, but the score is going to be 2-0. Are you going to take it or not? And then people say, no, I don't want to take it. That's hurt. That's a hurting win.
No, you kidding? I'm taking it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I just want to get to the dance. It'd be silly to get to the dance. And if we get smoked in the first game, who cares? It'd be silly to go. It was much better than watching.
Well, look, it's possible. But you got to start with the Daniel Jones injury, because if Colt McCoy goes for three out of those five games,
they're done.
Oh, I think the Giants, they knew that it didn't matter who's playing quarterback for them against Seattle on that road trip, that they're not winning. So they're going to rest him this week.
Probably
and hope he's ready
right.
to go
for
the following game.
Look,
and he should be fine.
Here's the thing. If you want to be optimistic about Washington, I mean, they're 4-7. They're not a good team. But they are 3-2 in their last five. So, you know, I mean, anytime you're 3-2, like if they started 3-2, we wouldn't have such a negative vibe about them, right? If they started out the season at 3-2, you'd be like, okay, they're okay team. But 3-2 in their last five. Now, two of them are over Dallas.
And well, one of them's
played,
over.
But EB, they haven't
the Bengals,
played
a, but,
they, right. they haven't played a team with a winning record in a month and a half.
Yeah. Listen, I get it. They blew the games against the Lions and the Giants and
right,
all that.
if you look at their last, what is it, their last six games, going back to, look, they played the Giants, a team with four wins, the Cowboys, a team with three wins, Giants, we just mentioned, with four wins, the Lions, they fired their coach and GM, the Bengals, they've got a couple of wins, and the Cowboys, like, they haven't played anybody good in forever.
It's true. They actually should be, in all seriousness, they should be 7-4. Because they should have beaten the Giants twice. They should have beaten the Lions. They should be 7-4. They lost those three games.
Maybe 8-3 with the Browns
game.
The
Lions loss is still so confounding.
And the two Giants losses.
Why should they have beaten the Giants both times?
Well, they first of all, the Macho
game
close? Was stupid.
But they didn't have the lead ever in that game,
Doesn't matter. I don't remember specifics of it. I mean,
you're acting like they were dominating the Giants. The Giants had the lead the entire game.
No, I don't care.
He's a homer.
I don't just care.
Burgundy gold homer.
Part of it is just that they suck. I mean, okay, we suck too, but I think we suck less than them. We should have beaten them.
But they don't suck less. They suck more. They lost to them twice.
I think we'll have the same record.
They made more mistakes than the team.
Okay, but if we get one win more, will you say that we suck less than them? If we get one win more.
One win more where?
Than the Giants.
If they end the year with a better record.
Well, it depends because if Colt McCoy is going to play in two or three of those games, I just discount those.
Say you kind of stink because you lost twice to the Giants.
Well, you can't
just
gave
them away. Listen, you guys can think that the right team wins every week. I don't think that.
And by
sometimes the wrong team wins.
I'm not saying that, but you're presuming that Washington
should have
won.
I'm just saying I can make an argument.
All right,
yeah.
If you look at that first game, I just had to go back. Washington never had the lead. Not one time did they have the lead. And you act like, forget
the
macho play.
We had all the momentum in the world, and then he went macho, going for two. Like it was some sort of like college thing.
Well, Allen had one of the worst turnovers I've ever seen in that game, which completely just
the fumble,
the field toward the Giants.
Yeah,
it was awful.
I agree. Fluky.
Him turning the ball over is not a fluke. It's the norm.
Someone make a Photoshop of Ron Rivera as Macho Man.
Well, it was just stupid.
By the way,
decision.
You're talking JP.
Go for
JP. JP, are
so
you talking
dumb.
About the first game against the Giants?
Yes, the first game.
Okay, well they didn't have the lead. Hold on, they didn't have the lead in the second game.
Okay.
So they played 120 minutes against the Giants and didn't have one lead.
Yeah, they just choked.
Well, I know. That's why it's frustrating hearing EB say they should have beaten the Giants twice.
I would love to play him this week. I'd love to play him with Daniel Jones this week. I'd love to play the Giants
Daniel
for the next
Jones
five.
He's never lost to Washington.
Right, understood. It's unbelievable. It's mind-boggling to me. I would be butt-sized if we played the Giants for the next 5 weeks.
Oh, yeah, we're going
why?
For two. Because
then I know we would beat them. We beat them more than we'd lose to them.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I'd
doesn't
be butt-sized to play the Giants five
doesn't
more
matter.
Times.
Doesn't matter. It's going to come down to that. I'm telling you, it's going to come down to
lost
that last
to them
week.
By a total of 4 points. They're terrible, and we played bad.
You have five losses.
You know what Daniel Jones is saying? He's saying, I wish I could play Washington every single week.
Again, it's the only team he can beat.
Well, you just told me he was good yesterday. You're all over the place.
I actually do like him.
You're all over the place.
No. I think he's – I'd trade for him.
But you think he could beat him next time?
I don't think he could do it by himself. Yeah.
Well, he's pretty good. He's better.
I pray to Roger Goodell that he schedule the Giants 16 games next year.
Oh, yeah, we're going 16-0.
Drabby, what were you going to say?
Well, he's hyping up the fact that they're 3-2 in their last five. Well, that's since the Giants game that Ron Rivera was teaching them how to win, and they're going for it.
Oh, so you think the lessons paid off?
Maybe it did.
Yeah, it didn't pay off anything.
It's paid off for three wins.
Yeah. Well, and
Dallas twice, and they beat Ryan Finley.
Specifically with the Giants, Wayne Gallman owned Washington. They ran for like 170 yards against him in the last game.
Yeah. Gallman's been pretty good over the last like
he
five or
been.
6 weeks.
He yeah. has. Been.
Not just against Washington.
All right, got to take a break. 800-636-1067. Remember, it is Pro Football Focus Tuesday. Mike Renner, their lead draft analyst, will join us coming up at 9 o'clock here on The Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Time now for the Junkies Blitz. Blitz is brought to you by Impress Technology, an SBA-certified hub zone solution provider and Dell federal partner. We talked about it to open the show. The Seahawks win the Monday Night Football matchup against the Eagles 23-17. DK Metcalf starred in the game with 10 catches for a buck 77. Carson Wentz continues to struggle. Did have 2 touchdown passes, but threw another pick. He gets sacked a ton, so record pace, him being sacked this year. So they fall to 3-7-1, a half game back in the NFC East. I wanted to kind of give you the
current... By the way, DK Metcalf now leads the league in receiving yards.
Nice. Wanted to give you the current playoff picture and your thoughts. We'll start in the NFC, where right now the Saints would have the bye. They're 9-2. Of course, Drew Brees still not back, but they've won their first couple of games with Taysom Hill under center.
Mm-hmm.
Seahawks at 8-3 are the 2 seed, tied with the Green Bay Packers, who are also 8-3.
Who has the tiebreaker there?
You know, I see it listed here as the Seahawks as the 2 seed, so I'm not quite sure what the – they both have 6-2 records in the conference. I'm not sure how the tiebreaker falls.
Maybe it goes to common opponents there.
Yeah. So Green Bay is the 3 seed. Right now, the Giants would be the 4 seed, at 4-7 because they are the current NFC East leader. Your wild cards would be the Rams at 5. They are 7-4. The Bucks are currently the 6 seed at 7-5. They've played 12 games. And the Cardinals would be the last team in at 6-5. Still in the hunt, you've got the Niners at 5-6, the Bears at 5-6, although they are dying, and the Vikings at 5-6. So the Vikings, you know, still have a shot.
Everyone goofs on the NFC East, and rightfully so. It's terrible. The other divisions are bad too, though. I mean,
Not as bad.
No,
as Seattle.
They're not,
not
even
as
close.
Bad. But you have 5 and 6. Hold on, you got 5 and 6 teams still in the hunt for a playoff spot.
That's because there's an extra spot.
Right. Yeah. Still,
but
you got.
Yeah, but those divisions are tougher.
Those teams could swoon. I think it's unlikely, but they could swoon.
That division has 2 teams in the playoffs as of right now.
Well, which one are you talking about?
Did you say the
West?
Yeah, the West.
Oh yeah.
No, I wasn't talking about the West. I was talking about the. I was talking about the North.
The North.
Yeah, I was talking about the Vikings, Bears, and Lions. Look, it. I don't know their schedules. I don't know how it's going to play out, but it's unlikely. But I'm sure they play each other. But you know, if they finish 5-11, 5-11, 4-12, I mean, they're just as bad. They do have Green Bay.
They're not just as bad because
all right, just slightly less as bad.
I mean, you guys lost to the Lions.
You're discounting one of the best teams.
I'm just
in football.
Saying. No, the Packers are good. Packers are good, no doubt.
The Vikings and Bears would be leading
I'm
the division.
I'm just saying the North is pretty bad.
No,
I think
it's
the
not
North is pretty bad.
But the NFC East is historically bad.
The NFC East is worse. I can't argue it.
Look, the NFC North, NFC North is clearly the second worst division in the NFC, but it's not comparable because you got the Packers.
You got the Packers, for sure. I'm not going to argue that. I'm just saying that I think they're also pretty bad. I take the Packers out of it. They're right there.
The Vikings.
I mean, put it this way. The Lions, who are the last, you know, obviously last in their division, have scored more points than every team in the NFC East.
They probably also given up more. No, I guess the Cowboys have given up more.
What were you going to say about the Vikings, Cakes?
They have the Jags on deck, so that means they're going to get to 500 this weekend. I mean, don't count them out.
You can't.
Grasp. They could get in.
Yeah, I think that I might bet on the Vikings over Arizona to get that last spot in the NFC.
Were they 1-5?
The Vikings, yeah. Weren't they 0-4, and then they beat the Texans, which is the Texans said, well, we have to fire Bill O'Brien now. We can't lose the terrible Vikings. And I guess they started climbing their way up.
All right, so here's your AFC picture. Of course, we still don't have the Steelers and Ravens game in the book, books. But Steelers are 10-0 right now. They would have the bye. Chiefs are your 2 seed at 10-1. Then there's a little bit of a gap. Tennessee at 8-3, and the Bills are 8-3 are winning their divisions, right?
Yeah.
So then the wild card picture, the Browns right now in the driver's seat. They're the top wild card team in the AFC at 8-3. The Dolphins and Colts are both 7-4. So they would be the 6 and the 7 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Ravens are 6-4. So they are, you know, still in the mix. You've got the Raiders at 6-5. And then I guess you keep the Patriots somehow in the picture at 5-6, but they're kind of the long shot.
Right.
Yeah, the team that really damaged their chances this weekend was the Raiders, just with the egg that they laid in Atlanta. Have to see how they recover. They were close against the Chiefs and then just got blown out of the building by, I guess, an improving Falcons team.
Yep.
And it just makes that Ravens game against the Steelers even bigger, even though Lamar won't play. But, you know, since they have the Cowboys the following week, if they could somehow eke out a win on Wednesday against the Steelers – going to be a tall task, but then beat the Cowboys. That gets them 8-4. So they're in a real good spot there at 8-4. If they're,
I feel like it's bad karma, but I mean, it's definitely bad karma, but I'm kind of rooting for Big Ben to, you know, twist an ankle or something. You know,
sure,
nothing
you
too
are.
Serious, but maybe a hamstring pull like Jones.
So you can face Mason Rudolph instead?
Yeah, give us a shot there. Yeah.
Yesterday we spent a little time talking about the Buccaneers losing. And EB pointed out that Tony Romo probably was getting texts from Tom Brady from some of the things he was saying in the commentary during the game about Brady not being comfortable with the offense. Well, Michael Silver spoke to Bruce Arians via text, and Arians said he picks all the plays right now, he being Tom Brady. Mm. We call what he picks. Mm-hmm. We just have to get better. He's getting more comfortable every week. We're getting close. So that's his response, that you're going to blame me? Brady's the one picking the plays.
But it still might not be his pool of plays that he wants. You know what
right,
I mean?
It is Arians' offense.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I heard somebody talk about this, and I agree. Brady's complaining. He went from like an offense that had no weapons last year, right? And now he joins an offense with all of these weapons. He's got everything he wants. He brought Gronk back. Got Gronk out of retirement to play with him. He got Antonio Brown to play there. Already had Mike Evans and Godwin. He's got all these great players, and he's going to complain?
He put the team together, basically. Yeah.
He didn't like the offense.
Can I get props, please?
Because
I've been saying this for an entire year and a half now.
What did you say?
That the whole thing last year was that Brady had no one to throw to in New England. And then I said, well, what's going to happen when he goes to Tampa and he has all of these weapons and he could have every toy in the toy shop that he wanted, and then he still stinks?
I don't think he stinks.
He's having a rough month.
Thank you.
Valdez, I give you your props.
Thank you. That's all.
But I don't know that you were saying it for a year and a half, because then you would have had to foresee that he was going to leave New England.
Ever since he left New England,
right,
I've been saying it.
Gotcha. Anyway, it's interesting to see what happens. I can't remember who it was. I was watching Red Zone, and so you don't watch all of the game. And I think it was Tony Romo, though, at the end of the game. He threw out there, he thought Tampa might still be, even off the loss, the best team in the NFC.
Well, I mean, they have a bye week, but after the bye, they host Minnesota. That's going to be a big game for playoff positioning. And their last three, they get to face Atlanta twice, and they're at Detroit. Now, Atlanta's played
Cupcake
better
City.
Of late, but those last three games set them up nicely
should be
to try
10
to make
and
a
six.
Run.
They should be 10-6.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And they're third in the league in scoring.
Yeah. And their defense at times looks really good.
Yeah, there's a certain matchups that, I mean, the Saints is a bad matchup for them, but there's a certain matchups that are just bad for them, and they still have those offensive threats. You know, again, adding those players like the Fournettes and the Browns, we'll see how that progresses over the next 4 or 5 weeks. But they'll have a shot. Are they as good as Green Bay or the Saints? Who knows? But they
pretty
got a
good
shot.
Turnaround if they go from 7-9 to 10-6.
Correct.
Pretty.
Well,
good.
I mean, Winston threw like 8 pick sixes last year.
Yeah.
All right, got to take a break. Phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? Remember, it's Pro Football Focus Tuesday. We'll talk to Mike Renner. Don't want to miss it. Lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. He jumps on at 9 here on the Junkies.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.